My guest sitting right here, as she has been for the last half hour, along with her husband who's sitting across there. They're bored with the incredible views here because they have views of the lake where they live. Her name is Hannah Blue Chaussette. She has another name too, but this is her professional artist name. She has one of the most interesting projects that I, as a Chicagoan, have come across in memory. It is called Unsung Heroes of Uptown. It's an exhibition of her portraits that are now going, that are now, as we speak, exhibited on bus shelters across Uptown, certainly, but also all over the city. They pepper the city. I remember you called me some time ago and said, "Hello, Mr. Kogan. Could you tell me something about Studs Terkel? I've done a portrait of him." I said, "Well, that's a good choice for sure." How did, and I want to get back into your history, Duke University and Art Institute and all that jazz. How did this idea come to you? What was the seed of this idea?
Actually, I have a lot to owe Studs Terkel because when I was a student at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, I read Working.
Good book.
And then I went off to Asia and it permeated my work. I'm very interested in people and trying to connect cultures between East and West. And then I went on to work in television and radio in China, in Chinese. I have to say, I feel a lot more comfortable in English. Before, I had a show called English Tea House, and we didn't speak any English.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it was a call-in program.
What was the nature of the show?
To learn English.
Oh.
We'd just pepper a few English words. Everyone felt really good. And they would call in to talk to the only foreigner they've ever met.
Was this
so
on a big radio network?
So the fourth largest radio and television broadcasting company in China.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back before we got Working and Studs in here. But before that, where are you from?
I'm from upstate New York.
And you went to, we don't have to, we'll skip your childhood, and you wound up at Duke University, yes?
That's right.
To study what?
Political philosophy.
Okay.
I thought as a writer, certainly I had to have something to write about.
Your ambition was to be a writer at that age.
That's right. I've been writing ever since I could put words together, writing plays in elementary school.
And what did Duke do for you?
It was a resource, but I didn't fit in too well. I'm a very creative person, and it was really a place for lawyers and pre-med
people. Yuppie. Yeah, that's
so
right.
I was a
yuppies
token.
Yuppies were invented.
Right.
Yeah. You got out of Duke and decided to pursue...
Actually, I interviewed I.F. Stone. Do you remember the I.F. Stone Weekly?
Oh, my God.
So I went to Washington, and I stayed there a few years. And then I went to New York to break into theater. That's my other love.
And how did that go? That's a tough thing to break into.
I was just getting started when I started getting phone calls from the Art Institute offering me a scholarship, and each time I said it was wonderful, but that's not enough money, and the next day they offered me more, so I was packing my bags.
You must have applied, right?
They didn't
just call you out of the blue. What did you have to present to them to get a scholarship?
A portfolio. And it was a very generous scholarship at a time when they had the money to offer a lot of lucky people scholarships.
Did you know Chicago at the time?
I guess I did, because my aunt and uncle are rooted in Chicago.
And how was the Art Institute for you?
The Art Institute is my home. I bet I could blindfold myself and walk through the halls and lead you wherever I remember.
Did it, obviously, with your affection for it, it obviously enriched you as an artist?
Absolutely. It's a formative part of my life.
What's interesting about your work, Hannah, is you are not just a visual, you're a painter, you're a sculptress, and you are varied in your artwork. Why?
I feel to capture a likeness, I would say I'm a conceptual artist, that I look for the right medium, and it could be the spoken word as well. I also perform. Yeah. So I was a Bertha Palmer, for example, during the pandemic, working on a one-woman show about her rising from the cemetery and coming to see a new Chicago.
Did you perform that show?
No, it was just in rehearsal.
Look, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Did you do any theater here before you went off to China?
Before I came to Chicago, I certainly did, and I also was writing plays all through my childhood. So
you're here. You came here. Then what drew you to be the radio star of?
Actually, Oprah. I thought, well, I was working on a talk show in China, so perhaps I need to be back in Chicago and learn from someone who really knows talk shows. And I couldn't get a job with Oprah.
I'm confused now about when did you go to China? At what point?
From 1990 to 2000.
And that was after the Art Institute, yes?
That's right. I first went to Japan. So I talked this to the dean of the school when I was about to graduate and said I could represent the school anywhere in the world. Where did they
the
want
Art
to send
Institute,
me?
The Art Institute, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he said, well, we have a sister school relationship with Osaka University of Arts that's not doing very well. Maybe you could go there.
And did that appeal to you?
Of course. It was close to China. I had hoped to go to China.
Why?
I don't know. Ever since I was a little girl, I was interested in China.
You're not the only person fascinated right. with China. So you made that.
The funny thing was I had to learn diplomacy because a Mr. Akimoto at Osaka Gaidai kept saying, no, we don't want her, but in a Japanese way. Even the Japanese didn't know they didn't want me. So I land in the middle of this school, not speaking Japanese, and trying to fulfill my responsibility. So I had to learn how to work around.
Did you ever learn why he said he didn't want you?
Never, never.
Did you ever become friends with this guy? No.
No, but I figured out a way to talk about the school and tutor the people they did choose to come to Chicago. They just weren't well-suited to come to Chicago, so I tutored them, and I had meetings about the Art Institute, and so prospective people would come.
So basically your job when you went to Japan was to sort of not recruit Art Institute people, but to prepare people for coming to the Art Institute.
Exactly, but okay. It was an undercover kind of job. It was not official.
Got it.
It gave me classes, and I belonged somewhere. It's very important in Japanese society to belong to something. So I was a student, but I also, in my spare time, tried to help tutor people in English and get them interested in Chicago.
How interesting. So you translated your love for this city to these students. Did many of them come here? Dozens? A few? Hundreds?
I never found out because I went from there on to China.
What drew you to China? Beside your fascination with China.
I lived in the southern city of China, just on the coast across from Taiwan.
What city was that?
Fuzhou.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what did you... You're a brave woman. You said, okay, I'm done with Japan. I'm going to go to China. To do what?
To work in television, of course. I was only foreign...
Inspired by Oprah?
Inspired by Studs Terkel, actually.
Wow.
I really wanted to know people's lives and to live within the culture. So in Japan, I lived with Japanese families. That wasn't easy.
I lived with
a doll maker and his family. They didn't speak English. I had to find my way to school. It took me about an hour and a half every day.
How did you pay your way through school?
I got a job working as an English teacher for several companies. So I earned about $75 an hour as a private instructor.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And I didn't eat. I basically lived on nothing. And I just kept... My eyes were open.
How many years were you in China?
I was in China for 10. I was in Japan almost 4.
Okay, and then what is it that... I'm trying to get all this in from... We could talk for 5 hours. What is it then that brought you back? And did you come back from China to the United States to Chicago?
Right. I had a young son. I needed to be a place so I could get around easily. I knew Chicago. And then there was Oprah. And I tried many times to find my way in. I even went to a temp agency that I learned supplied people to work at Harpo.
Yeah.
But I was told flatly that I couldn't, they wouldn't choose me because I could write. So there might be a danger I would write an unauthorized book. But I went to her show many times to learn from her because the talk shows that I did in Chinese in China were just something I did by the seat of my pants.
Yeah. Well, inspired by Studs Terkel. So you were asking questions and trying to get to the heart of people behind the facade.
I wanted to use radio and television not just for educational purposes, but as a bridge between cultures.
Mm.
And so the English Tea House was a chance to reach out to people. I heard that people would borrow bicycles on tops of mountains to ride to the nearest place that they could hear a radio and then call in to talk to me.
Wow.
Their first foreigner. And to me, that was the most rewarding thing I could possibly do, to use the media as a way of connecting people.
Wow. Wow, that's come, sorry. We have to take a short little break, and we will, and just a couple minutes, and come back and talk to Hannah Blue Chaussette. And she's back in Chicago. We've gotten you back to Chicago now. She's kind of stalking Oprah, and then we'll see what she did after that. And we will eventually get to her astonishing Unsung Heroes of Uptown project. So stay tuned. Hannah Blue Chaussette went to Japan, and she went to China. Then she came back here. Then she stalked Oprah for a while. Then what she wanted to do was very, very, very much inspired by Studs Terkel, is to explore people in a broad umbrella kind of way. This was, I'm trying to get the chronology, this was around the turn of the millennium.
That's right. I was here for 2001.
Okay.
I was making my production reel when suddenly everyone was sent home.
Yeah,
you know, the
sure.
planes hit.
So what did you do then? Were you making art at the same time?
No, that was later.
Okay.
I mean, I've been making art all my life.
Yes, but in the
series. I was intent on continuing the work in television and radio.
And you just couldn't,
I just hit
you
the
couldn't
wrong
get
time.
A nibble in this strange media town.
I worked for a Chinese cable station for a while, and I interviewed people like Jackie Chan. And
oh, wow. Wow, here.
Here.
Wow.
I asked if I could interview him in English, and he preferred Chinese. So it was a wonderful experience.
Did you like him?
I did, actually. Yeah. Very,
he seemed
all
like,
around.
Yeah, he seems like a decent
person.
Guy. I certainly don't know him, and I would never think to pretend that I did. So then you started to explore theater here, did you not?
Yes, and writing for theater.
In what kind
well.
Of way? You write? Did you join dramatists, or did you?
I took acting classes, and I worked with Chicago dramatists through the pandemic, really.
Yeah, that's a nice organization. Nice organization.
It's a wonderful organization.
Did you want to act, or did you want to write, or both?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And I needed to write the roles that I could play. You know, after the age of 35, it's very difficult for women.
True.
And so
true.
I thought I could write more roles for women.
True. And then during the course of this, where you're not, you know, you're not on stage every night and you're not doing things every day, I am assuming, and tell me if I'm wrong to assume this, that your visual art started to take on a larger portion of your creative life.
That's because that's something you can do. Nobody has to give you the opportunity.
Correct. Correct.
So I started working for Lille Street Art Center.
That's a great place.
Volunteering in order to earn my classes. I was building things in clay, but everyone was doing pots, and I wanted to make full-length sculptures, human sculptures. And then eventually I applied for an artist in residency, and so I worked there.
At Lille Street?
Right.
Wow. Wow. And this is all now we're getting into the teens?
Yes, yes. Right.
Okay, we'll skip ahead. You can read all about this lovely creative person in next Sunday's Tribune. It'd take me 5 more hours to get all the information I need. But then, when was the Unsung Heroes of Art? Is this your first major public art project?
Yes, I would say it's the first major public art project. But I started Unsung Heroes earlier than 2019.
Okay.
I started interviewing everyone from a CTA bus driver named Ronaldo to a security guard at the Art Institute, Cookie, and a woman at the checkout, Luandia, who's actually a jazz singer.
Were you pragmatic about it? Did you have an end result in mind? And did you have one, you wanted to do the new working or...
So I basically translated working into visual art and also wanted to deal with the digital age. So I did them in the format of Instagram. So I would interview my subjects, and then I would select excerpts to put in the text below their painting.
Interesting. Fascinating.
But then one day during the pandemic, I saw this wonderful exhibition in the J.C. Deco bus shelters. And
yeah.
I thought this is a really – it was called the Anti-Icon Project. Beautiful black and white photographs by Martine Guterres from New York. And I thought of Cindy Sherman, of course.
Sure.
And then I thought, that's the perfect venue because I would be taking the unsung heroes of people on the street and I'd bring it to people on the street. And to my great surprise, when I told J.C. Deco the fact that I was able to reach anyone and now, that they, I had the vice president and the president.
They're French-based. This is a
French company. Just outside of Paris, the largest outdoor advertising company in the world.
Exactly. And you were able to get through.
Within 20 minutes, they said, we love your idea. We'll do it. But then the problem was they would sponsor. It's no rent for me for 3 months, and that's incredibly generous.
Oh, yeah.
But the posters themselves I would have to print, and all the work that's involved that I'd have to pay people for, like the photographer and a designer, I had to find
the
money.
And your own materials, frankly, yeah.
So I applied to the City of Chicago's Department of Cultural Affairs.
Yeah, sure.
And Special Events, DCase, for their individual artist project, and I tried twice.
Uh-huh.
The first time they almost gave me the money, but there was a sticking point in my budget, and then I reapplied, and I was lucky to get the money.
I must tell you, it was about 10 or 15 years ago, and Lois Weisberg was still running that place.
I tried to meet her, too.
It would have happened, overnight. She would have loved this. I knew Lois very well. She would have just loved this. So you're banging up against the classic Chicago bureaucracy here. How did you persist?
I guess I'm a dog with a bone and I can't let it go. And I believed so much in the project. And the people that I met, I haven't met a boring person. Everyone has a remarkable story to tell.
Oh, yeah, the ones you've
chosen.
Just
as Studs told me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once I knew I was doing this project, I contacted James Kappelman, who was the alderman.
The alderman, sure.
And said, this is a very political choice. So what do you think? Who should I interview? And he mentioned Jackie Taylor, the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater. She was the first.
She's great. She's another. So she was first. You interviewed living people, except for
Studs.
That was
a real challenge.
Studs Terkel, but you were determined to have Studs be one of these people because you had learned about, given the birth of your affection, reading Working, you obviously learned much more about Studs, and you learned that he was an uptown denizen. And got on the bus every day to go down to WFMT. And so he's part of this, too. We will talk about when did.
You know, the funny thing is about Studs is the more I learn about him, the more I felt a kinship.
Sure.
I'm sure anyone would. He was incredibly curious. He had a prodigious memory. I don't have that. He was a great talker as well as a great interviewer.
Yeah, see, that's the thing most people don't realize about Studs. They think, he was the greatest interview ever. He was also a really good talker. I knew Studs since I was born. There's something very theatrical about that man, too.
And he knew it.
He sure did. Yeah, of course he did.
But he was also very humble. I learned by talking to people. You don't agree with me.
Well, he had his moments.
He was.
Given some of the other arrogant characters who were his contemporaries, yes, he was. I would say he is humble. Do you ever walk by his house?
Yes, I know where it is. Uh-huh.
You ever met his son?
No, I haven't met Dan.
Yeah, like on the
He's
door
a very
sometime.
Good writer himself.
He is. Spoken word. So the whole thing, Kappelman helped you. Did Kappelman help you with DCase?
He helped me choose the people. We talked about it because I realized when I'm choosing, I had hoped to do 10. It turned out to be 5.
Yeah.
That I studied the demographics. I tried to represent everyone.
Of course. Sure, why not?
In Uptown.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some people I just met, like Terry Abramson, who is
fascinating.
This fountain of creativity.
Co-author, co-writer of songs with Muddy Waters, for goodness sake.
He was just sitting on his porch.
Yeah.
And I stopped to say hello, and then I decided to tell him about my project. And the more I spoke to him, the more I wanted to speak to him.
And he's also, I'm not a visual artist, but he's got a good face.
He surely does.
He's got a really good face to paint. Studs' face is not part of this whole thing. I find fascinating.
You know, and that's controversial, and I really love it.
Not with me, it's not.
I feel that people are more than their faces.
Yes.
And when I think of Studs, of course, I think of his voice, and I think of his checkered shirt, and his red socks, and his pork pie hat, and his tape recorder.
Do you normally travel when you walk around the neighborhood and you live in Uptown? You travel with a tape recorder?
I have my phone. I do a lot of it. It's with me everywhere.
Yeah, Mr. High Technology here. It's like, how do you do these interviews? Blah, blah, blah.
But I wanted to tell you the story about what happened when the photographer came to photograph Studs' bus shelter.
Sure.
And Terry's. There was a man sitting in the bus shelter, and the first thing he said to me was, I can move if you'd like. But we began to talk to him. And I think it really, that story of the stories he told me about coming from Alabama told me that this man was interesting and extremely observant.
Yeah.
And he's like a gentle giant. He's a big man, but he had so much wisdom. And the more we spoke, the more he warmed up to the idea of having his photograph taken.
That's
and it
great.
Was in Studs Terkel's booth.
That's perfect. Wow, is that
so
perfect?
So it was just so perfect. And yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the activities for this three-month period from May 6th until August 6th, in the Studs Terkel's booth, I'm offering anyone who would like to be interviewed, I thought in the spirit of Studs, we could have a conversation. And with their permission, I would post it on the website or on Instagram.
Yeah, the website is really fascinating, as are the portraits themselves, because there's text involved. There are short little interviews with each of these people. Studs stuff, he pulled some nonsense for me and other other people. But I think that enriches it, too. It's not just a kind of pop art kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of substance there. And you have links on your website to all sorts of further information about these people. It's a fascinating project. I'm going to talk to you a bit after the news to have you tell people. We'll try to spell your website. That's what you should do, Hannah. You should get a simpler website.
You're right.
It's a lot of letters, and it's a lot of unusual.
It's a challenge.
A lot of unusual letters. I am sure your husband over here, I'm not going to drag him into this whole thing, is wonderfully supportive of all this.
I wouldn't be able to do this without his support.
He's smiling, ladies and gentlemen. He's smiling. Stay tuned. We'll come back and have a few more minutes with Hannah Blue Chaussette. Even I knew what chaussette meant from my French classes of many, many decades ago. It means socks.
Right. Little socks.
Little socks. We'll be back. Okay. I'm going to give you people about a minute to go get a pen and a piece of paper so I can read Anna Blue Chaussette's website, because it's really a good one. I'm trying to convince her to change it to something shorter like Hannah.com. All around Uptown, and the wonderful thing about the Unsung Heroes of Uptown exhibit, it's a exhibition of her portraits with tons more information about some famous people. Jackie Taylor is famous. Studs Terkel's famous. All the other people are not.
They should be famous.
I agree.
That's the point.
I agree. I agree. But fame is a weird, wicked kind of title to have to wear. They went up on May 6th and will be here through August 6th. They will be online kind of indefinitely. They may stay up, I guess, longer than that if the response
If
the response is good. You can read about and see some of these in your Chicago Tribune. It should be online at least by Thursday and in print for you hundreds of thousands who still get the Sunday paper in print on Sunday. Ready? You have your pens? You have your pens? H-A-N-A.
Hana, which means flower in Japanese.
Don't confuse these people. H-A-N-A-B-L-E-U-E C-H-A-U-S-S-E-T-T-E .com. I'm thinking that Jack Heinrich, the producer here, will put that up online when he posts this fascinating interview. Have you had a chance to celebrate this?
I've been so busy, but what I've been doing for fun and also to make sure the locations on the website are accurate is to go all over Chicago and see where the bus shelters are, because you see it in the surrounding. And then I meet people who are sitting in the bus stop,
sure.
And I will take their photograph and talk to them about.
Oh, great.
So it's really fun.
Well, I think it does have the sense of, to my mind, this has some sense of being an ongoing kind of project. I mean that seriously. whether J.C. Deco keeps doing it. There are other places. There are galleries in town. I really, really, and I think you're onto something here, and something important here, frankly.
Well, thank you very much.
Something that
it's
flies.
2 years of hard work,
yeah,
but very satisfying.
I can't even imagine trying to work your way through the city bureaucracy.
You know, the other thing that's interesting is I think J.C. Deco is an amazing company. Twice a year, they'll put art in the bus shelters, and they really design those bus shelters by famous architects all over the world.
Oh, I know.
So they're beautiful.
I know. I admire that company tremendously.
But the other thing that's interesting is I'm working in advertising, and I'm playing against the idea of advertising. Instead of advertising a product, I'm advertising the idea that we should get to know one another better and celebrate the human spirit.
You're advertising life. Advertising life and the variety.
So it's the perfect venue.
It is. I want to get to know your husband better. I want to get to know you better. I will call you tomorrow, continue this interview, but thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh, no, I just think they're all over the place. Go to that website, you smart people who wrote it down when I told you to write it down. And you all, they're not a lot on the west side, but they're all, you know, uptown is filled with them, and downtown
in the loop.
Downtown in the
loop. And uptown. And by the way, exploreuptown.org. If you're going to come to uptown,
sure,
walk along Broadway and admire the architecture and all the businesses that have popped up there.
I still think it's by far one of the most interesting, historically important neighborhoods in this city.
I agree,
Hannah,
with you.
It's a great pleasure to know you. You too. I say
thank
to her
you
husband.
So much.